Good morning. We are here for SharePoint development with WebParts, ASP.NET Web Forms. Pretty excited. I'm just kidding. It's early. We got to have some kind of humor, okay? My name is Seth Juarez, and we have over here
Chris Lauren.
And today we are going to demystify machine learning and deep learning for you because we feel that there is a lot of hype, and it's time to show you the ugly messiness that is machine learning.
Show us the ways, Seth.
I mean, so I'm going to start with first this notion of data science, okay? You've all heard the term, and sometimes we use the words science wrong, right? We say we've got this down to a science. We think there's precision, but science, as we know, is glorified guess and check, right? You come up with an idea, you try it out, and then it works or it doesn't. There are many sad tears that have been shed of things not working. And so the stuff we're going to show you, we know works, but it may work a little bit differently for you. So there will be tears shed. And that's okay, because this is also with data science. Let's talk about machine learning. And I'm going to tell you a little story. How many people work for a bank? I'm sorry. Your database should be on the Dirty Jobs show. You know what I'm saying? If you're the DBA for that. Imagine you work for a small bank and your boss comes to you and says, I went to build and they told me that we need to infuse AI in all the things. And you're like, okay, this is not going to go well for me. And you work for a small credit union and they say, hey, what we want you to do is we have images of checks that we scan at the teller. And you need to write just this one thing, an algorithm that detects whether the check is upside down or not. And you're like, okay, because you're a cheap bank, your checks have a black stripe at the top. So your programmer lizard brain right now already wrote an algorithm, didn't it? You just look at like 40 pixels at the top in strategic places, and if they're all black, leave it alone. Otherwise, flip. So because you, Sally, dear engineer, are so amazing, you get this out, and you have a really good DevOps process in a half hour. And everyone applauds your brilliance and says, good job. Then the guy, let's say his name is Tim, comes down and is like, you did such a good job, Sally, at infusing AI that we have one small request, just this one thing. Famous last words from marketing guy to dev, right? It's like it's just this button that launches something into space and puts people on Mars. It's just one button. You've all heard this. So Tim says, Sally, this is just one thing, just for the guy that owns the bank. He really likes his cats. And he, just for his checks, we want you to be able to put a picture of his cat on his check. Just him, just for him. And Sally, you're like, okay, well, lizard brain, programmer. The first thing you ask is, well, can you give me a picture of this cat? And he gives it to you, and you're like, okay, well, you know, if stripe at the top, I don't know what language this is. If stripe at the top, leave alone, else flip. And then you have to have another if statement, right? And then you sample a couple of pixels, because that's what our programmer lizard brain says. And then if the cat is upside down, you flip it, otherwise you leave it alone. And this one takes 45 minutes. But then it's out. Tim comes down day number three and is so excited and says to you, Sally, you did such a great job. We just this one thing. Now we want any customer to put any picture on any check they write. That's when our programmer lizard brain explodes. Right? Do you notice that there's like this interesting gap between the picture of the cat and any picture that all of a sudden breaks our lizard brain, right? Do you feel that? Like there's, in all of our programmer heads, we're thinking there's this interesting difference between that and the other. In that difference, in that gap, that's where machine learning works the best, okay? So that singular intuition is very helpful. If you're going home and you're feeling bad because you added another if statement to your program and it works, or you change a 0.5 to a 0.7, and you feel like you need to take a shower after you wrote that code, if you're doing that, right, you might be in the area of machine learning. You see what I'm saying? And I you already read this. All of you probably read what was on the slide. I just wanted to give you a story of it. Machine learning works best when instead of creating a series of steps, you give it examples of the right thing and it figures it out. That's machine learning, okay? And it starts with a very sharp question because machine learning can only answer very specific questions, okay? And these are them. How much, how many? Which class does it belong to? Are there different groups? Is it weird or which option should I choose? You've probably heard them called like the fancy name. Okay? And by the way, these slides, you can have them. I will make sure you can have these slides. I want you, because we are going to do some maths. In America, we only have one. Everywhere else, it's maths plural. Okay? And sometimes you even hear them separated like this. Starts with a sharp question. Like if you think of a self-driving car, you can diminish every decision it makes into a yes-no question. Should I turn left? Should I turn right? Should I hit this person? Right? And it's important, right? And so you can see that you can make these questions create it. And it's when you put them all together that it makes really, really smart sense. Okay. So then, now that we know what this is, and they've told you to infuse AI in all the things, how do you go from a cool idea that you have with AI into profit? Well, it turns out that there's three options, and we'll start with the easy option. How many of you have ever used a PDF file? Okay. How many of you weirdos have ever looked at a PDF file in Notepad? Weirdos. Me too. It doesn't make any sense, right? But we are comfortable using PDFs. We are comfortable viewing them. And if your boss says you need to go ahead and turn this Word doc into a PDF doc, you buy something and it does it, right? And you're okay not knowing what's inside of it. But some of us weirdos are still going to look at the PDF in the Notepad file. In this case, the easy option for us with AI is you can just use something, right? And we have something called cognitive services, which allows you to infuse your apps, marketing wants me to say this, websites and bots with intelligent algorithms to see, hear, speak, and yeah, you get it. Just use it. And it turns out that it's very easy to use. Am I right, Chris?
Absolutely.
All right. We have here, these are the updates for Build that we have. We have tons of cognitive services that do a ton of amazing things. But I can sit here and talk about it, but I'd rather you show us how it's done, my friend.
Yeah, let's do the easy way.
Easy way.
Because it's still pretty early in the morning.
That's right.
The easy way, look at the pretty website, and then I'll show you some code since we're all developers here. So this cognitive service can take any face, and we can upload pictures without writing any code to get started because we're going to warm up in the morning here. So I can click browse, I can upload a picture of my daughter, and it's going to take a look, and it's going to identify some interesting characteristics. Like I said, it's morning. Let me click the right one.
Click the right button, Chris, okay? We've got a high bar to set here, dude.
All right. So it's going to identify what we call a bounding box. It's going to say, oh, yep, there is indeed a face in there. And it's going to take some best guesses as to some things like her age, gender, identify that she's got glasses on, sees that she's happy. Going to take a guess at her hair color. It's a little bit difficult because she just got it colored for her birthday. So it's a little couple different colors. That's a little bit harder. But you can see we get back a JSON response here that we can use in any kind of program, any kind of application. Now, cognitive services can do a lot more than just identify faces, though. We can also identify some interesting things about different scenes. So I went on a trip to Thailand recently, for example. I'm going to upload this picture of me with an elephant. And I don't know about you, but I never thought I would write code that could generate something like a person is petting an elephant.
I've had to.
It's pretty amazing that I can just take a look at the scene, identify what's going on, and not only give some descriptions, but actually generate some kind of human-readable sentences or description about what's going on. And again, the response comes back in JSON, programmatical, usable. It's great. Now we'll use a text analytics API. Again, it's not just all about images here. So we can go ahead and paste in some text, and we can analyze this. And we'll get back some sentiment analysis. It'll identify some keywords in there. And we can see that the Microsoft Build Conference, the Washington State Convention Center, Seattle, and oh, Chris and Seth need some caffeine. Chris likes coffee, Seth likes soda, it understands coffee, doesn't highlight soda, but that's okay. You get the idea, is that it extracts key phrases, sentiment, and again, all the responses come back in this way that we can work with in any application. So let's go ahead and take a look at what that looks like inside of an application. Now, I mentioned, you know, as developers, probably start with something like Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code. So I'm going to show you that using those cognitive services, it's never been easier to get started. You can create a new project. We've got some templates using an extension in Visual Studio called Visual Studio Tools for AI, whereby you can create a new template project which will automatically connect to the cognitive services and generate some code. Now, I'm going to show you, we also have a list of the cognitive services that I, as a developer, already have access to. So I can easily discover them, and I can learn more about them. I could right-click, I could create a new one if I wanted to, and I can even open the Getting Started page so I can learn about what these things are. So if somebody else has provisioned one of these cognitive services for me, I can just see that it's there and go, oh, what's this? Let me get started. But I'm going to go ahead and generate an application here. I'll right-click, and I'll create an application, and I'll give this a name. I'm not feeling super creative this morning. All right. So it'll even do some basic error checking for me, which is great. And I'm not authorized for this one. Let me go ahead and refresh, just make sure that my connectivity to the cloud is good. And we'll try this guy again.
Don't worry, this literal thing happened to me during Harry Shum's demo, which is really embarrassing because he like runs stuff.
All right, so you can see that not only did it create all the references to the cognitive services SDKs that I need, it generated some sample code, and even included my subscription keys in here so I don't have to go muck around and figure out where those keys are, so I can try it, get started, and get familiar with how these things work. So we can go ahead and run this code, and I'll go ahead and grab a path to an image that I want to pass. And then this will open up the image again. And you can see that I've returned the exact same JSON that I got from the website. So now I have some working code that I can include in any application quickly and easily without having to learn the principles behind it yet. But then now once I have some sample code, it's super easy to modify it exactly how I want it to work. So that's a quick example of how we can use cognitive services in the cloud, generating applications. We can do the exact same thing with the text API and others as well. So hopefully that shows you how easy it is to infuse AI into your applications.
Awesome. And this is immediately actionable. If any of you accept images on any of your web properties or any of your software, you can check for objectionable content right away. You can automatically tag it. You can automatically create captions because, you know, people don't want to type stuff when they put stuff up on your website. Maybe you could suggest something. You can do this right now. And notice that it was just a couple of clicks after we sign on to Azure. That's the important bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So easy, like a PDF. But sometimes, you know, option two, those, maybe we have very specific pictures or logos that you need to recognize, right? Maybe you need to blur out product logos when people upload stuff. Or maybe there's a specific object that you have at your plant that needs to be recognized that doesn't fit into the pre-built AI stuff. Maybe you need to learn a little bit more about PDF intricacies, right? To go with the example. Option two, still easy, but a little more work, is you customize the pre-built AI that we have for you. Just a tiny bit, right? And the way you do that is you use cognitive services again, but we have customization for each one of those sections. You have custom vision, custom speech, language understanding and intelligence service, Lewis, custom decision and being custom search. So now what you're doing is you can either use the stuff that's pre-built and it just works, do it, or you need to do just a tiny bit of customization. We also have that for you, and Chris is going to show us how to do that.
Absolutely. So here I'm showing you the custom vision AI website. So just like before, we've got some intelligence in the cloud in these pre-built models that are able to interpret the images and provide some intelligence and do some things like classification. Now, as I mentioned, nobody got the hint. No sodas, no coffee showed up. So thank you all. So Seth and I decided that, you know, we've been working pretty hard on this talk, and we don't really have time to go and get ourselves a drink. So we wanted to build a robot to go and get our drinks for us.
Because we're lazy.
We are.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, I don't have the robotic skills to figure out whether to bring me a soda or Seth bring Seth a soda. But I do have the ability to train a model, customize a model that makes sure that the robot gets me the right drink. And so this is kind of a classification problem. Make sure go to the kitchen and grab the right thing. So here I've uploaded a bunch of images. You can see on the lower left-hand side, you can see these tags. Tags, you can call them labels, you can call them classes, you can call them whatever you want. But essentially, these are just like categories. I've got a bunch of different images of Pepsi, soda, etc. And I want to make sure that the robot goes and grabs the right thing. So when it looks at it, it's going to be able to classify it by looking at the thing. That's the whole point here, custom vision. So I'm going to show you how to customize this model by uploading some images. I'm going to grab some files from my local machine. And I've got a bunch of images of Coke, so it will make sure that Seth gets his Coke.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure and say, yep, these belong to the Coca-Cola class. Okay, great. So I'll go ahead and upload those images. Now we're done. And then now I'll simply click train. Now, what's happening behind the scenes is it's using the pre-built model that existed that understands kind of the high-level characteristics of objects. So this pre-trained model, and then adding the customization of my images that I care about in my classes or my labels that I want to be able to predict. You see how fast the training was using the power of Azure and being accelerated by the fact that there's already this pre-trained model up there, so it already understands the basic characteristics of how to understand the world around it. So now that I have some high-level quality metrics as well, you could think of these as kind of almost like your pass rate, your unit tests, some key metrics by which you would never ship code to production unless you're better than. And so then include this in your application. It's as simply as easy as clicking the prediction URL. This generates a REST API that you can use. And then you can pass that URL, pass that image to the URL, and get the response identifying what class it is. Now, to make it even easier to include in an application that you might need to deploy offline on a mobile device that has no network connectivity, for example, you could generate a Core ML, you could export your TensorFlow model, or you could download your ONNX model also. And you might have heard a little bit about ONNX this week. It's an kind of an interoperable standard, so you can train models using any kind of toolkit like TensorFlow, Keras, CNTK, et cetera. And then ONNX is an intermediate representation that enables training the model in one way and then running it on a whole bunch of different hardware in another way. And we'll talk about a little bit more about that later, but we'll go ahead and export this, and I'll get this model file that I have on my local machine and that I can use in my application. Now, this is pretty awesome because no one else lets you use the cloud to train and download the model this easily, so you can run anywhere on any device.
And this is amazing because we're not trying to lock you in. We are so confident in all of our other cloud services that we think it'll just be like a warm, fuzzy sock on a Sunday afternoon that you're not gonna wanna take off. But if you do, we'll let you take what you trained, we'll let you use it wherever you like. Nobody else does this. That's how confident we are in what we do.
Absolutely. But again, I don't want to have to go use the website, upload the images, download the stuff, click, click, click every single time. Usually want to keep track of some key metrics and identify whether we're getting the quality bar that we're looking for, and then programmatically retrain that model by, say, adding some new images that take into account, say, you know, different lighting conditions. Maybe we repaint the kitchen, put in some, you know, green lighting. And so it affects the way that the robot would understand things in the kitchen. So we might want to upload some new images on a periodic basis. And again, we can simply create a new application. This will generate some code that programmatically retrains that we could kick off on a regular basis.
So what you're saying is, just to be clear, is that what we saw on the website, you can do all of that in the code as well.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
And you can choose whether to use C# code or Python code to programmatically retrain this. So I'm going to go ahead and choose some C# code. And we'll just add this to the current solution to make things nice and easy. And again, notice that we've got the SDK references all ready to go, and we've got the working code with the API keys all in place. So I'm going to go ahead and run this again. And we want to, let me set my startup project. And we'll give this a name, and then we'll provide the path to the input directory. Now, again, this is the same directory that I uploaded from before. You can see I've got a bunch of images of Coke, I've got a bunch of images of espresso, etc. And so we've separated these into some training images and then also some testing images. And this is super important. I mean, this is just like test cases, but instead of writing code to test it, then you provide some examples and say, I know exactly what that one is, and I'm going to label that and make sure that when the prediction runs, that it correctly identifies it. And then finally, the generated code will also download the model for you automatically as well. All right. Looks like I'm having some connectivity issues, unfortunately.
And that's okay, because I think you're getting the sense for what's going on, right? We did not come in with some prefab code, and then we used regions maliciously to make you think it was really easy. He right-clicked and made it from scratch, right? There was nothing up our sleeves. In fact, I'm not even wearing long sleeves for that purpose, right? You can see that it's very easy to do that. So here's the thing, like, and this is important, right? Notice that we have services that you can use. Just right off the bat, you can call them. We have ways that you can generate code to call the pre-built services. We have services that you can customize in Cognitive Services, and we have code that you can right-click and use to customize. And we allow, it's amazing that you can just use it all right now. If you were to leave, and I've spent 10 minutes blatherskiting the real thing you could have done in 5 minutes, right? You could, in 5 minutes, get started with this stuff right away. But now here comes the hard stuff, right? Because we wanted to demystify deep learning, because I want you to get a sense for how messy